Let's pray. Heavenly Father, how great it is to be with your people in your presence around your word. You are great. We are not. You are all powerful. We are not. So we need you. Would you open our hearts to your word and do your good work? In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, we are in the middle of the series called Elements of Life. And tonight we have a new element. We're going to actually spend 3 weeks on this element, okay? So get ready. We're going to continue it after spring break, which means this. I don't have to say everything that there is to say about this element. We're just going to be introducing it tonight. And so the next element is the element of faith. The element of faith. Yes, so we're talking about these elements that are extremely consequential in our lives, and yet we'll never make the periodic table, but at least as consequential as anything on the table. Okay, so whenever I was a freshman in high school, I grew up in a small town called West Frankfort, Illinois. Our town is a town of about 8,000 people, and our basketball arena held about 4,000 to 5,000 people. I was like, looking at the arenas around here, like, this isn't an arena. This is like junior high. You know, these high school, that's like junior high. We had a full balcony around our entire gymnasium, massive structure. I would say 4,000 to 5,000. And I remember times where the entire thing was packed out. You want to talk about Midwest basketball? I remember times where you could not find a seat. And so I had this dream. I had this dream of running out of the tunnel to the pet band and everybody doing the Red Bird fight song. And I would bust through the paper because I was the shortest. And so I would bust through the paper. And I had this dream that I was going to play varsity basketball someday. Well, it was my freshman year, and I am on the basketball team, and I am starting for the B team. Those of you who don't know, the A team is the A team and the B team is not the A team. Okay, so I was starting for the B team. I didn't get to dress for the A team because they were nice that way. And so I remember it was one faithful day in study hall. Me and Randy Murphy were in study hall. Randy Murphy was one of the other people that was starting on the B team. Now, starting on the B team your freshman year isn't exactly the on-ramp to a great college or high school career playing varsity basketball. And so we were sitting in study hall, and we had an idea. What was our idea? We were going to write our coach a letter telling him why we felt like we deserved playing time on the A team. So we wrote the letter. We signed it. He walked out of his classroom. We walked in. We dropped it on his desk. We walked out. It is now practice. What will Coach Tony say? You need to understand, Coach Tony is this like 6'3", husky, intimidating man. And we're thinking, what did we just do, right? So we show up for practice. We know he had to get the letter. You can imagine the awkwardness and the tension. And guess what he did? Nothing. Which was probably about the worst thing he could do, right? Because you're like, he got the letter, didn't he? And you're just kept us in suspense. You think, why would I do such a silly thing? Well, first of all, because I was young and naive. That's why I would write a letter to my coach demanding more playing time. But secondly, because of this, because I wanted to be a part of something consequential. When I went to school the next day after my game, no one ever asked how the B team did. No one even knew there was a B team. My parents, I don't think, even showed up for those games. I mean, it's like, maybe they did. I don't remember. But if it was, it was just my parents, okay? I wanted to be part of something consequential, and I felt how of little consequence the B team was. And so I didn't want to just sit around and watch my life go by. There's something inside of me, and there's something inside of you that wants to be a part of something that's consequential, that wants to make a difference in the world, because God has planted something in my heart and something in your heart that he has plans and purposes for our lives. And we're not to just sit on the bench and watch our lives go by. So what we're going to talk tonight about is this, that one of the key elements to stepping into God's plans and God's purposes for your life is the element of faith. In fact, as I read the scriptures, the Bible says this. The Bible says that the righteous, in Hebrews 10:38, that the righteous shall live by faith. Now, let me tell you what it doesn't say. It doesn't say, and the pastors will live by faith. It doesn't say that the missionaries will live by faith. It means that everybody that follows Jesus, that what defines them is they live by faith. So we often think about living by faith in the sense of like past tense. Well, I was saved by faith, so I live by faith. That's, no, it's not just speaking of a past tense. It's speaking of a present tense, that my life and your life is defined by the fact that we live by faith. It's not about something that happened. It's about something that we do. It's the way we live. Okay. As you read over scripture, as you read through history, as you look around the world today, here's what you'll see. That every great expansion of somebody's life, either in the depth of their walk with God or in the breadth of their impact, of the widening of their influence, is accompanied by a step of faith. In other words, I believe that God wants all of our lives to deepen with him and to broaden in our impact. And what you'll find out is that each time that happens, it is accompanied by a step of faith. Well, what we're going to do is we get to look over the shoulder of this man by the name of Abram as he meets God, as God encounters him and challenges him to take a step of faith. Now, what you'll see is Abram's life is a gritty walk of faith. It's not sanitized. I mean, he blows it plenty of times. But what we know is that in the New Testament, he was known as a man of faith, and we're going to see him take a step of faith. So open up your Bibles to Genesis chapter 11. Genesis chapter 11. We're going to talk about that just briefly as we head into Genesis chapter 12. How does the journey of faith begin? That's what we're looking at today. How does one's journey of faith begin? Let me give you what's happened in Genesis chapter 11. Here's what's happened. The people of that day have just built the Tower of Babel. Now, here's what the Tower of Babel was. It was basically the declaration of independence for the people on the earth of that day, that we will live on as our own, that we don't need God. Look how great we are. It was rebellion, it was pride, it was a declaration of independence. What you have after this symbol of pride is built, that making a great name for themselves, is God scatters the people. And then you have one lineage that's followed. It's the lineage of Shem, who's one of the sons of Noah. And this is the lineage that God has to work with. And what you see as you trace it down is it comes to this guy by the name of Terah. Now, Terah is a man who ends up being the father of Abram. And here's what we know about Terah. We know that Terah was an idolater. And Joshua tells us that Terah was an idolater. In fact, the word Terah literally means moon, which means he probably grew up in the house of idolaters, and now he was named after the moon, which was worshipped. And then he has Abram. So here's the picture. The one family that God has to work with, the one lineage that God has to work with, has gone towards darkness, towards idolatry. And you get this sense, if you zoom out, that humanity and culture is dark. And then, so here's the picture. Abram is like the poster child for the unchurched, okay? So if you want to know what it's like, you know, go pick the most unchurched person, and that's who Abram would be equivalent to in that day, okay? Then here's what else we learned about Abram before chapter 12. Here's what we learned. We learned he's married to this woman named Sarai. And what we find out chapter 11, verse 30 says this: Now Sarai was barren, and she had no children. Now here's what you need to know. Abram's name literally means father. And names meant something in that day. It was kind of like the hopes and dreams that your parents had for your life was put into your name. And so Abram, he was the one who was supposed to have the kids. He's supposed to be a father. And you get this, It doubly stated that she was barren. Okay, we got that. And she had no children. That's what barren means, right? In other words, it was double emphasized because it's extremely important. In this day, to not have children would be to not be respected at the city gates. To not have children would mean to not have an heir. And Abram is a small business owner, so who's going to take over the family business? To not have children was to mean that he didn't live up to the plans and dreams that his family had for him. So here's the picture that you get. Abram's life has this seemingly sense of disappointment with it. He's now 75 years old. He has no kids. He's a small business owner. He grew up in an idolater's home, and his life has been a disappointing life. Here's what I love about this. God loves to use people that most other people would overlook. He loves to use the weak. He loves to use the unlikely. He loves to use those that other people would overlook. So that's who we're talking about in chapter 12. Now let's read. We're going to read three verses. It says this. So God said to Abram, this man with the disappointing life, who looks like, man, did I miss the destiny of my life? God says this, the Lord says this. Leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all the peoples on the earth will be blessed through you. Okay, stop there for a second. So God comes to Abram, and he says, go to the land I will show you. He gives him basically a very open-ended invitation. And this is, I love this about the way God comes to Abram, because this is exactly what it's like to walk the walk of faith. When God comes to you and asks you to take a step of faith, you may know the direction that you're headed, but you don't know the destination you're headed to. Anytime you take a step of faith, you don't know exactly what it's going to be like once you step out. You don't know exactly what's going to happen. And we see that there's these three aspects to the promise. One, go to the land I'm going to show you. So he's going to give him land. Two, he's going to give him a son. He's going to make a great nation. Three, he's going to bless him. He's going to cause him to be a person of blessing. And those who bless him will be blessed. And so Abram, I'm sure, thought about all three of these and had like big opposition and obstacles he noticed in all of them. Okay, number one, blessing. Okay, God, this world is full of curse. There is no one who is following you. Like, how are you going to make me a blessing? Two, children, I'm glad you brought that up. I'm 75 years old, and I am barren. I have no kids. What do you mean a great nation? I have no kids, and I'm 75, and Sarai's not getting any younger. And so I'm not sure. And then third, land? You don't even tell me where you're sending me. You say, to a land I'll show you. And well, I can bet that when we get there, there's going to be other people there, and they're wicked. And it's just me and my family. Like, how is that going to work? So at every turn, you see the obstacles that Abram would have been facing. Verse 4. So Abram left, as the Lord told him. What? So Abram left? Wait a second. Do you mean that he didn't have any questions for God? I mean, you're telling me that he didn't have, like, hey, I've got some questions to get answered before I just start, you know, packing up the U-Haul donkeys or what? I don't know how they moved back then before we start loading up the tents. And like, you're just telling me that he just left. I mean, didn't he have to ask, like, okay, can I get a forwarding address? Because I'm going to have to get some mail forwarded. And what? How am I going to tell my family? Can you imagine going to your family? Think about this over spring break. Mom, Dad, I'm getting ready to graduate, and God told me to go to a land he'll show me? Oh, really? Yeah. I mean, how do you think that conversation would go? I mean, he doesn't even know where to tell him he's going. He doesn't even know where to post on Facebook. I'm this, you know, where are you bound to? I don't know where I'm bound to. To the land God will show me bound, you know, like. We get no questions, no rebuttals, just three simple words. So Abram left. Wow. Okay, now here's what I know. I know that Abram probably had to look foolish to some of the people around him. But guess what? When you walk the walk of faith, sometimes you're going to look foolish. You know what? Noah looked foolish building the ark in the middle of the desert. Sarai looked foolish as a 90-year-old woman shopping for maternity clothes. The Israelites looked foolish walking around the wilderness blowing trumpets, you know, around Jericho. Oh, that's going to do a lot of good to the impenetrable wall. Peter looked foolish stepping out on the water. David looked foolish attacking Goliath with a slingshot. But here's what I also know. Noah saved he and his family from the flood. Peter walked on water. David slayed Goliath. Sarai had a child by the name of Isaac. It may look foolish, but here's the thing. When you walk in faith, yes, some people may not understand, and it may look foolish to them, but here's what I know, that you will see God do things that other people just won't see. And it all starts with a step of faith. Now, here's what I want to do. I want to deconstruct this step of faith for just a few minutes before we call it a night. I want to look at what are the two elements that are always involved in an expanding step of faith. In other words, it expands the depth of your walk with God or the breadth of your walk with God. There's two things always involved. Okay, here they are. These are my 2 points for tonight. Number one is this: God speaks, prompts, or calls. And number two, someone takes a step of faith in obedience. This is like not complex. God speaks, prompts, or calls. And number two, someone takes a step of faith in obedience to what what God has just spoken. And this situation was Abram. Let me give you some examples. I was thinking about places I've seen this happen. I was thinking about David Schmidt, who's in the back. He was here on a Monday night where we handed out Live Dead journals to everybody. And we gave the Live Dead journal challenge. And as that challenge was given, there's something that the Holy Spirit did in his heart that says, David, I want you to go deeper in your walk with me. And so David said, I'm going to take the Live Dead challenge, which the Live Dead challenge is this, that you would spend 2 hours a day with Jesus. And so he did this for 30 days, spent 2 hours a day with Jesus. And that 30 days, it was so transforming to his walk with God. He kept spending exorbitant amounts of time with Jesus. And he would tell you that that was a point where he deepened in his walk with God. How did it happen? The Spirit prompted his heart. He took a step of obedience. And then when you're reading the scriptures, and the Spirit comes and knocks on your heart and says, hey, I'd like to do something there. I remember young man who was in our fellowship who called me up and he was in tears. And this is what he said on the other side. He said, Pete, I'm addicted to pornography and I feel like I've been beat to a bloody pulp. He had lost all hope he could get free. And I said, you know what? I believe by the grace of God and the power of the Holy Spirit, you can be free. Well, we began to meet. And while we were meeting, here's what happened. The Holy Spirit came and tapped on his heart and said, hey, I want you to give away your computer. Prompt. God speaks, God calls. He had a MacBook, okay? So this wasn't like some Lenovo kind of, what I don't know what these things are. Like, you know, like, I don't know. Hey, I'm not a Mac person, so any Lenovos, I'm with you, okay? So I don't even know what those are called. But anyways, it wasn't like one of those $400 Best Buy deals. This was like a MacBook, okay? And he said, I believe God wants me to give away because this was the source of his temptation, that he was using it to sin. And I said, dude, then give it away. And you know what he did? He gave away the MacBook. That's exactly what he took a radical step of faith and obedience because he wanted to obey God so he could be free. And guess what happened? Is it a mystery? He got free. And now he's married and he has a child. But because he meant business when God spoke to him and he took this radical step of faith and gave away an over $1,000 computer, God met him in that step of faith and freed him. I think about Annie who shared her story last semester here about at the fall retreat when Jack was speaking at the fall retreat. And as she was sitting there listening, he wasn't even speaking about relationships, but as God was at work in the retreat, he began to work on her heart about her relationship with her boyfriend. And so immediately after the retreat, God has spoken, prompted, and called. She actually got in her car and drove, well, her core group leaders, I recall, drove her all the way up to the university where her boyfriend went, and she broke up with him through her tears. And she stood on this stage right here and said that that was the beginning of a new day in her walk with Jesus. That was like a breakthrough moment. My point is this: every substantial growth in the depth of your walk with God will be defined by two things: God prompting, speaking, and calling you to something, and you taking a mighty step of faith to step into that reality. Or you can ignore it and stay right where you are. Would you be willing to take a step of faith if he spoke to you about your depth in your walk with Jesus? I mean, a radical step of faith. Here's the other thing that I know. I know every expander in the breadth of our walk with God starts with these two things. God speaks, prompts, calls, and somebody takes a radical step of faith. You know, you want to read the Bible, this is how it happens. You see in Acts 10, Peter's like hanging out, and he gets a vision, hanging out with God. He gets a vision of a, you know, sheet coming down with pork chops on the sheet, and he's God tells him to eat. He says, no, I can't. And then God says, it was to get his attention to show him, I want you to go to those that you consider unclean, the Gentile people. I want you to go there. Now, you got to realize that this broke every paradigm that he, as a Jewish young man, had growing up. And so what does he do? God speaks, prompts, calls. He takes a step of obedience, of faith forward. And when he does, the gospel moves from the Jews to the Gentiles. It breaks the barrier. Because he was willing to take a mighty step of faith, and Cornelius and his household were saved, Acts 10. Acts 13, Paul, he's in a prayer meeting at the church in Antioch. And when they're in a prayer meeting and they're fasting, God speaks to the elders, I want you to set aside Paul and Barnabas to be missionaries. And they say, hey, God spoke that he wants us to set aside Paul and Barnabas to be missionaries. God speaks, prompts, calls. Guess what happens? Paul says, okay, I'll take a step of faith. He takes a step of faith out, and guess what happens? There is an explosion of the gospel in the world. How did it happen? Because he was willing to take a step of faith in obedience to what God has spoken and called. Every church that's planted starts this way. Every Chi Alpha that's planted starts this way. Every non-Christian that is reached by their roommate, hallmate, who comes to Chi Alpha, it's because God spoke to somebody's heart and they took a step of faith and said, okay, I'll be the hands and feet of Jesus in this person's life. I don't care how big the step is, how tiny it may seem, or how huge it may seem, it always will have these ingredients. God's going to speak, and somebody's going to take a step of faith. And when they do, they're going to see God do things that they wouldn't have seen otherwise. Now, I had other points, but I don't have time for it, okay? Every expansion of the depth of your walk with God or the width of your walk with God is going to happen by God speaking and you taking a step of faith like Abram. Now, let's cut to the end. Here's the good news. You want good news? Good news is this. Jesus did what Abram did, but he did even better. If you follow the life of Abram, Abram blew it plenty of times. Jesus did it perfectly. He went out alone. He left his father's house. And he entered into the darkness so he could rescue us. And here's the reason why that's a big deal. The big deal is this. Is that God calls us to step out, but first, he doesn't call us to something he hasn't already done. Jesus, when we realize that the one that we follow is the one who left everything to save us, then we can be willing to let go of whatever it requires to take that step of faith so we can follow him. Are you guys following me with this? He sets the trajectory. He did it first, and now he calls us to take a step of faith so his plans and purposes for my life and your life can be fulfilled. I'm going to have the worship team come forward. We're going to close with a song. Abram took a leap of faith. You know what happened when he took a leap of faith? Here's what happened. His life went from a life that seemed to be riddled by disappointment to a life that was enthralled by God and fulfilling the plans and purposes God had for him. Here's what happened. Abram's life went from a life that seemed to be riddled with disappointment to a life that was enthralled by God and fulfilling the plans and purposes that God had for him all along. He would now fulfill his destiny. He would now fulfill his namesake. In fact, he won't just be father. He'd be Abraham, the father of many. Will you stand with me? The righteous shall live by faith. Perhaps you're here tonight and you are a lot like Abram. You didn't grow up in the church. This stuff is kind of new for you. Well, let me tell you, that's exactly where Abram was when God prompted, when God called, when God spoke to him, and he turned and opened his heart and took a step of faith to start following God, and it changed the course of his life. If that is you tonight, let me encourage you, take a step of faith to Jesus. Open your heart to him, and I will promise you, it'll change your life. For the rest of us who are in here, let me just ask you a simple question. Will you close your eyes for a second? What is your next step of faith? To expand in your depth or the breadth of your walk with God, what is the next step of faith? Is there a step of faith you need to take for your holiness? Is there a step of faith you need to take to go deeper in your communion with the living God? To deepen in your walk, is there a step of faith that you need to be able to deepen in your walk, whether it be in your holiness or your communion with God? What about in the breadth of your life? Is there a step of faith you need to take? Is there someone you need to have a conversation with on grounds this week before spring break? And let me tell you, we're getting ready to go on mission trips. I want to encourage everyone who's going on a trip to have your heart ready. Be ready for God to speak, prompt, or call. And I would encourage you, be ready to take a radical step of faith. What is your next step of faith? What would it look like on grounds if all of us said we are going to take the next step of faith in our depth and the breadth of our walk with God both. What would it look like if 400 people said, we're going to take that next step and trust him and be obedient to what he prompts? If it means giving away a laptop, or if it means boldly declaring God's good news on a campus or in the darkest places on earth. Lord, give us great faith that we would look like Abram, not with our list of questions, but say with a simple faith, we will follow wherever you lead.